Shout it loud, hallelujah. Let those who are expecting to be blessed this morning shout it loudest, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, you are good. My Lord,
you are good.
Let the person who wants the largest divine intervention for his or her destiny shout this prayer loud and clear. Say, powerful change, to move me forward, manifest in my life. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and ask for that powerful change to move me forward. Powerful change that will move me forward, manifest in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. now with anger boiling in your spirit and with violence in your voice, merciless violence in your voice. Say this after me the way I'm going to say my own.
Every battle
that defeated my parents
and is now confronting me.
In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare it. That's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We praise your holy name because you are our rock, you are our strength, you are our nail in the sure place. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your eagles here. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. This morning, lay your hands upon us. Anoint us for great things. Do great and marvelous things in our souls. Move our lives forward mightily. And Father, I'm praying for anyone in this garden today who is depressed, unhappy, frustrated, that agent of darkness assigned to pull you down, I bury that agent now in the name of Jesus. By the spirit of the God of Elijah, receive power to move forward. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
A louder amen.
Amen.
I'd like you to be a prophet unto 10 persons before you sit down. 10 persons. Look at somebody straight and I say, my friend.
Every shadow of death
assigned against you shall backfire. In the name of Jesus. Say it to 10 persons. Shout hallelujah. Let's have a seat. God bless you. As we take our Bibles, as usual, I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. I'm speaking to you on what I call the blind prisoners. What did I say? The blind prisoners. It is bad enough to be blind. It is worse when the person is blind and is also what? A prisoner. The blind prisoners. Let's identify the group of people we're talking about here. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1, the blind prisoners. James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. If you are there, say yes. If you want us to wait, say we should wait. Okay, we'll wait for you. The blind prisoners. James chapter 1. Are we there now? James chapter 1 verse 14. Say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust, say lust, had conceived. That is, lust becomes a pregnant woman. When lust hath conceived, then it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth what? Death. Bringeth forth death. I read it again. Verse 15. Then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Everything starting from lust. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Matthew 5:27. What we're talking about this morning is why many, many people, including pastors, will not make heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. If you are there, say yes. Okay. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery. And hath committed adultery with her already in his what? Heart. Again, talking about lust. I think it was in our nursery school. Many of you went to modern nursery school. I'm sure you know the song of Three Blind Mice. Who knows the song of Three Blind Mice? The song of Three Blind Mice. Three blind mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all run after that spider's wife. They all ran after the farmer's wife who cut their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing before? Three blind mice. That's what they are saying in that song. They were running after the farmer's wife because they were blind. They should be running away from the farmer's wife, but they were running after the farmer's wife. And the woman was using carving knife to cut off their tails. So they were teaching us that song in our early school, so that we can understand the gravity of ignorance and blindness. And it's a very terrible thing. That was, I learned Three Blind Mice in Lagos. In our village, we don't sing Three Blind Mice. We sing, I for you, we kute meta, unsare. One sare tele aya agbekon. O forbe ibe, shu ge one iru. I for you, we kute meta. That's what they were taught. Bottom line, blindness is bad. I read a story a long time ago about six blind men who saw an elephant. One came and put the hand on the side of the elephant and said, the elephant is like a wall. The second blind man, who was by the tail, argued, said, no. The elephant is not like a wall. It's like a rope. Because he could just feel the tail. There was one at the holding the leg. He said, no. It's not like a wall. It's not like a snake. It's like a pillar. Another one was holding the trunk. That trunk he used to drink water. And finally the thing was breathing and moving. He said, no. The elephant is like a snake. One was holding the tusk. That's everything in the close to the trunk. He said, no. The elephant is not like what you are saying. It's like a spear that people throw. One was by the ear and he was touching that large ear. Said, no, the elephant is not like the wall. It's not like a snake, like you are saying. It's like a big fan. All six men were sincerely wrong because they were blind. I pray that the Lord will deliver us from spiritual blindness. Amen. If there is anything that will ensure that you are de-anointed. If there is anything that will make heaven to call your name, Samuel, and you do not even wake up, let alone hearing God, it is what we are talking about now. If there is anything that will push so many people who believe they are holy into hellfire, it is what we are talking about now. And I think we should, that's why I say, listen to me very, very carefully. And that thing is what we call lust. Lust is the root that bears bitter things.
Lust is the reason why the practice of righteousness is impossible for so many people. A lot of people want God to be talking to them. You want to move with fire. You want to prophesy. You want to do great things for God. But as far as that lust is still lurking in the garden of your heart, that is an impossible dream. Lust is why people enjoy sin more than righteousness. Lust is a foundational solution to the sin problem. Once you deal with lust, you deal with sin. If you don't deal with lust, you don't deal with sin. Lust is that wicked blood that is running in our veins. It runs in the veins. Lust. The Bible says, when that lust has conceived, it will have a big baby. And when that baby is called sin, and when that sin comes out, it brings death. I pray that anyone here today that already this lust has almost killed you, you'll be delivered in Jesus' name. Lust is a dark spot in our mind. Our mind, which is supposed to be pure, that dark part of it is lust. Lust is the evil plant in the garden of our heart. All our heart is a garden. When there is an evil plantation there, the heaven sees that plantation. Heaven sees that you are not making progress and you are struggling. And heaven is looking at you and saying, move now. And he sees that you're not moving. All of a sudden, a voice comes from heaven, cut it down. It's just wasting our time. And the person gets cut down. That's why you see plenty of American preachers turning upside down, caught in one kind of terrible thing or the other. Lust is the little foxes that spoil the vine. They're small, but they're spoiling very big thing. Lust is that seductive feeling in your emotions. That thing in your emotions that is seductive. It's lust. That's the proper name. Lust is the evil root in the garden of your heart. Lust is the wrong connection wire of your spiritual life. It is when you want to connect God with that heart that has lust. When you connect to heaven, it will spark and heaven cannot talk to you. Lust is that which make people to smell in the nostrils of God. And God says, I can't use this one. I can't talk to this one. I don't like this one. It's the mystery of divine rejection. So God, I don't want to use this one. This heart is dirty, is impure. Lust is that agent that dismantles the anointing. No matter how anointed you are, if your mind is a garden of lust, it destroys the person. Lust is that one that causes you to cut the fuse of divine power. When divine power is flowing, and just introduce lust into it, it is cut down. If lust could damage Samson, it could damage anybody. Lust is a strange fire contesting with your spiritual life. Lust is a slow poison. The person is dying slowly. And you'll be saying, anointed, fall on me. But inside, he's a dead man. And everyone can see that he's a dead man. Lust is the mind polluter. Lust is internal death. A man employed a very beautiful secretary. And immediately he employed the secretary, he began to get attracted to the secretary. And one day, he was so attracted to the secretary, he went to the secretary, they began to go out together, he abandoned his wife of 30 years at home. So the secretary was saying, I'm not going to sleep with you again unless you promise to marry me. I'm not going to sleep with you again unless you decide to marry me. And this man who has been married for 30 years, they had a son. Now one day, went home, woke the wife up from the bed and said, darling, I need to tell you something. And the wife said, what? Said, I want a divorce. I said, you want a divorce after 30 years? Why? Said, I just want a divorce. My heart is somewhere else. My heart is no longer with you. I want a divorce. The woman broke down and cried. The only son they had too, saw mommy crying. Said, mommy, why are you crying? Said, daddy wants a divorce. Said, daddy, why do you want to divorce mommy? The boy did not understand too much, but was begging them. But the man was bent. Said, I need a divorce.
and I give you 1 month to make up your mind. If you, whether you agree or not, I'll give you a divorce. The wife now went to him and said, darling, I will give you that divorce, but do me a favor for 30 days. Just do something I want you to do for 30 days. After 30 days, you can go and file a divorce. And the man said, okay, no problem. Anything you want me to do, I do it. Just for me to get the divorce and get out of you and then go and marry this secretary. The woman said, all I want you to be doing, said, you see that wedding picture? You see the way you carried me in your hand on the wedding day? I want you to be carrying me out like that to the door every day for the next 30 days. And the man said, eh? So I carry you from the bedroom and drop you by the door for 30 days. Is that all? So after that, I'm free. The woman said, you are free. So it will pick out in the morning, the woman will be waiting. He will pick her up in his hand, carry her to the door, and dump her there. Meanwhile, the little boy will be applauding. Say, daddy, mommy, well done. Daddy, mommy, daddy is carrying mommy, well done. And he was doing it every day. By the 15th day, the man noticed that her weight was getting smaller. The woman that was heavy when he started carrying her was becoming lighter and lighter and lighter. By the 25th day, he found that the woman was almost weighing like paper and put her outside. Then for the first time, the man looked carefully at this woman and found that she had lost weight. She had become a living skeleton. And the man was touched and said, ah, this evil I've been doing to this woman, is it right? It's me that made her to be like this. Should I now kill her? So his mind was changing. Was changing. The 30th day, he took the woman, because it was for 30 days, took the woman to the door. By that 30th day, the man had made up his mind that he was going to tell that secretary off. He doesn't want the secretary again. He wanted to go back to his marriage. So he got to the office that day, jumped down from his car, went straight to the secretary and said, look, secretary, I want to stick to my wife. She has been with me for 30 years. I won't allow this loss to destroy me. Therefore, you can go your way. I'm not marrying you again. It became a quarrel. The woman banged the door on him and walked out. The man was happy. So on the way home, he bought flour, he bought chocolates to go and give to his wife. He got to the house. The wife was not in the sitting room. The woman was... he asked the boy. The boy said, mommy is obsessed. Mommy is sleeping. By the time the man got to the bedroom, the woman was dead. Lost. Had destroyed his wife. That lost had destroyed his destiny. Lost is internal death. Lost is that clever giant killer. A silent giant killer. Lost with the armor you. If you have the armor of the righteous, you put armor on. And they try you. They send juju to you. Juju does not work. They send witchcraft to you. It's not working. They send all kinds of things to you. It's not working. They will try lust. And once you allow that to work, they de-armor you. Lust is a power neutralizer. It neutralizes your spiritual power. The reason many of us in our dream cannot stand and tell the enemy, say, sorry, you cannot affect me. I'm a child of God. It is written, gather yourself together. You shall be scattered. Associate yourself. And you speak, begin to speak. The reason you cannot speak and fight is because of lust. Lust is a spiritual backbone breaker, to break your backbone in the spiritual realm. Lust is the foundation of all evil practices that men do. When lust is conceived, according to the Bible, it will bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death. Therefore, lust must never be conceived. Because if it conceives, the baby born will be sin and it will bring death. Lust will draw your heart away from the call of God. And it will empower sorrow to manifest. I'm sure all of you here today, there is no one here, unless the person is mad, who does not want to be hearing God talk to them, who does not want to know what the future holds, But if lust is in your heart, you cut off the voice of God from talking straight to you. That's why if you want to marry somebody and you met a man or you met a guy, you met a girl, immediately you sleep with that girl or that man, heaven will be black. They won't tell you. If it's after you have slept with somebody, you start praying, Father, show me. Is this the person I should marry? Father, show me. You will not get any information because you have jumped the gun. Lust will blind you from heaven information. Lust will disable your ability to resist sin. Lust will deaden your spiritual senses. I'm praying with a girl now. Strange things are happening. I find it very strange. This girl found one boyfriend who she says she loves very much. I pray that she will not have a demonic friend. Your amen is low. I've been a minister for years. I've never had this before. I've never had this before. So whenever he wants to sleep with her, he will put his finger in honey. You know honey. And he will use the honey to rub her vagina. Then it will begin to leak the honey. Then after he had finished licking the honey, the nurse says, open your mouth. The girl will open his mouth, he puts his penis into her mouth. Oral sex. And we say, don't swallow the sperm, don't swallow it too. So the girl toss the sperm in her mouth to spit it into a cup, which the man will later use to prepare tea. For the two of them to drink. When the mother eventually dragged her to the mountain of fire and brought her to me, anytime I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, she would say, hey, Joe, something is strangulating me. She won't be able to talk. I said, say blood of Jesus, I can't. Something will be holding her throat. Until we poured anointing into that mouth, she won't be able to talk. She won't be able to talk. There she is. She has drank sperm tea. Go and bring the boy.
Say, yeah, he has traveled to America.
Lust will deaden the communication network with the Holy Spirit. Lust will deafen the ear of the spirit man to God. Let me explain this to you very well so that when I leave this place, nobody's blood will be on my neck. At least you know, you explain to you these things, what it can do. Lust will bypass the voice of scriptures. The Bible will say, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Lust will say, one more time. One more time. One more time. After this, you stop. After this, you stop. The voice of lust. Lust will ignore the voice of conscience. Lust will destroy the plan of God for your life. Lust punctures God's projects for a man's life. Samson will have been one of the greatest men we are reading about today, if not for this lust that dismantled him completely. Reuben's destiny will have been so nice. Lust destroyed him completely. Lust will distract you from your divine destiny. All people through history who ever became great were men who avoided lust. Lust is a silent destroyer. Lust will be telling you lies about sex. Lies about sex. Let me tell you 20 lies people tell about sex. 20. We're talking about lust. 20 lies people tell about sex. Number one, they say sex is a means of self-expression. That is, you have to express your manhood or womanhood via sex. Zero is a lie. It's a lie. It's not the means to be able to prove that you are a man or a woman. What is the use when you are busy sleeping with a woman, then at the end of the day, the woman is paying your house rent, is buying you underwear. So you are just a sex machine in the house, a useless man. You can't feed a woman, the woman is feeding you, so he's just paying you to sleep with her. A prostitute. Two. People say a person without sex is psychologically and emotionally unstable. It's a lie. Those are lies we hear people tell about sex. Three, people say that sex is just a natural or biological need that must be met. No, it is more than that. It is spiritual. It's not just a natural thing that your body is on that fire, you just have to go. It's not. Four, I've heard people saying that breast pains, abdominal aches, and menstrual pains are due to abstinence from sex. It's a lie. It is wrong biologically. It is wrong in medicine. That kind of lie. If you don't sleep with people, your breast will be paining you. If you don't sleep with people, there will be you have abdominal aches. If you don't sleep, you will have menstrual pain. It's a lie. It has no basis in biology. And that's the truth. I've shared it with you here before. One girl of destiny that was in this campus, University of Lagos campus. Because when I see a person of destiny, I can identify them. Immediately I said, this is a girl of destiny. Let me see what I can contribute to make this girl move forward. So I was helping her, giving her things to use for her study, giving her Bible studies, books to read, to make her move forward. She was a very slim girl. One day she came to my office. She was very sad. She said, Joe, they are laughing at me in our hall. I said, why are they laughing at you? She said, they say my breasts are too small. I said, so what? So what? Is it large breasts they use for destiny? I said, but they are saying that the reason it is small is because I'm a virgin. I've not slept with anybody. That if I start sleeping with men, the thing will balloon. And I said, don't do it. Don't do it at all. You're a woman of destiny. Don't do it at all. So I was preaching my own message to her. Another person was preaching another message to her that, well, don't worry. Just do it only once. Ask God to forgive you. And then once your breast is big enough, you stop. She slept with a man only once. And she got pregnant. Just once. And she didn't know because, you know, something. She thought it was malaria fever. They were treating her for all kinds of things. Until the doctor said, you are 4 months pregnant. By the time they did the first scan, they were triplets. But listen, beloved, one baby had gone into the first fallopian tube. Second baby is stuck in the second fallopian tube. One was inside the womb. Then ectopic pregnancy problem started. So they had to cut off the first fallopian tube. They had to cut off the second fallopian tube. And in an attempt to cut this thing off, they aborted the one in the uterus. So all three babies lost, two fallopian tubes cut off. Why? Lost. Five. They tell us that boys who are sexually inactive will experience stomach pain due to accumulation of semen. Lie. Zero. It's a lie. It's not true biologically. It's not true in medicine. Six. They tell us that sex is love. That to show love is to play sex. That is, if you truly love me, you have to go to bed with me. That's a lie too. That's a lie too. Sex is different from love. Seven. People say, well, if it does not harm anyone, nothing is wrong with it. No, a lot is wrong with it. It's basically a spiritual transaction. Eight. Lie. The eighth lie they tell us about sex. is that the other word for sex is making love. No. If somebody is being raped, that's not making love. It's not the other word at all. The ninth lie they tell us is that sex enforces closer and better relationship. It's a lie. That only happens inside marriage, not outside of it. 10. They tell people that when you do not have sex, you will get weak or you will not be able to perform very well. It's a lie too. It's a lie. Lie number 11. They say that because everyone is doing it, and then because everyone is doing it, it is right. No, because everyone is doing something does not make it right. The majority could be sincerely wrong. 12. They said that sexual experience before marriage will help people when they get married. No, it will create more problems for you. That one is a lie too. 13. They said that sex for young girls helps their development. No, it will instead dismantle your destiny. In fact, every sex outside marriage, sex with somebody you are not married to, is entertaining a man with your destiny. 14. Some say that if you do not start having sex very early in life, you will have complications during delivery of your babies. It's a lie too. All these lies are going around, and people, even those who study sciences, are believing them. It's a lie. They say that having sex with a man will enhance his love for you. It's a lie. It's a lie. A serious lie. The man will just sleep with you and will move on like a mosquito that has sucked your blood. And after moving on from you, you say, you are no longer with so and so. Say, she's not a wife material. Yeah, she's not a wife material because at small provocation, she removes her skirt. They said the best way to appreciate a man who has been good to you is sex. You are using your destiny for entertainment. And some come and say, well, sir, since we have promised marriage to each other, we can start having sex with them. No. Angels weep when they see you preparing for hellfire like that. Preparing for hellfire like that. 18. And they say, men hate virgins. I've heard that before. Say, men hate virgins. Make sure you lose it before marriage, Joe. Your virginity is your glory. You must keep it. When ladies are sexually loose, there are plenty of nicknames for them. Some call them Wello. Deep Well. Public Dog. Ashewo. Chipe. Those are the names. Horse, Molue, General Wife, Anima Shao. The 19th lie people tell about sex, that I will do it. I'll ask for forgiveness. Everything will be all right. You can ask for forgiveness. Everyone may forgive you, but the Bible says, though and be joined in and, no sinner will go unpunished. Everything has a consequence. Everything has a consequence. I will not go far, but once you want to go far, we know I will stop. No. Everything has a consequence. There are 12 sensitive parts in the body of a woman, which you must not allow anybody to be touched. Anything that is above normal handshake. Is an invitation to lust. There's 12 areas of a woman's body, touch not, which is sensitive areas. Number one is your ear. And a man begins to rub his hand all over your ear and say, I like this hairstyle. It's a lie. Two is your ear. Put your fingers in your ear. Number three is your lip. It's your lip. It's just a peck. It's not a peck. It's your lip. Four is actually tongue kissing, your tongue. Number five is your neck. Neck. Six is your breast. Whatever a man's hand is doing on your breast area is gone too far. And you say, but I didn't remove my clothes. It doesn't matter. Seven is your nose. Eight is your buttocks, your bum bum. Nine is your thighs. 10 is your armpit. Somebody putting hand under your arm. Ten. 11. Your clitoris, which is at the front of the vagina. Somebody, you are wearing your clothes, somebody is using hand to be roaming around your vagina area. Although you are fully dressed, whether fully dressed or not fully dressed, or he's putting his hand inside you and he's using his fingers, dirty fingers, to roam around your vagina. So, but I didn't sleep with me, he was just fingering. He was fingering. And last is the soles of your feet. Those are the 12 sensitive areas in a woman's body. Once, listen to me, if you're a sister here, once somebody has used his hand to be rubbing those areas in your body, you say, I didn't remove my clothes. You are living in the den of lust. And when you are at it, the devil can plant anything in your life, which you'll be struggling to get out later. You say, hey, Pastor, I don't normally misbehave, but I only misbehave occasionally. It's true, sir. It's true, sir. I commit fornication, but it's not with every girl. Maybe 1 out of 30. Maybe 2 out of 30. That's not too bad. I know people who do 27 out of 30. Not too bad. Judging by themselves, the Bible says they are not right. Hey, I don't sleep with every man. I don't sleep with every woman. Only with those who say they like me. I don't go out for them. They are the ones who come for me. I'm not so bad though. I even care for them. I give them money. You are still in the cage of lust. Hey, I don't sleep with every man on the street. I only sleep with those who have problems with their wives. With their wives. So those are the ones. I sleep with divorcees. I don't, if they say they are married, I run away. It's a cage of lust. I have 4 boyfriends, but only one is serious. Only one is serious. And some people say, well, I know myself. The day I want to stop drinking, I will stop. I don't drink much. I only drink 2 bottles. It's still lust. And I tell lies, but it's business lies. Commercial lies. I tell lies when I'm under a tight corner. The Bible says, if you undress a woman in the laboratory of your heart, the Bible says you're already a fornicator. You're already an adulterer. You are already a rapist. Although you never rape anybody physically. You could rape a woman just by looking. You see, the Bible is very deep and it's very explanatory. If the Bible says hatred is murder, you don't have to take gun and start shooting people. The Bible says once you hate your brother without a cause, you are a murderer. That is why when God judges sin, God judges your intention, your principles, your motives, your reasons,
your way of life. That's what God judges. God judges the secret locking of your heart and the pineness of your heart. He looks at the tablet of your heart when God begins to judge sin. That's why the Bible says, no liar will enter into the kingdom of God. Whether you are a professional liar, occasional liar, academic liar, romantic liar, whatever liar you are. See somebody who you are not even close to, you say, I love, I cheek. Professional liar. These are situations that have thrown so many of us far away from God. Lust is an intense desire to satisfy one's sexual appetite. And if you don't control it, it could become something that is a white man calls infatuation. Then you are completely carried away by somebody's attraction and your sense is lost. You don't even know what you are doing again. Lust is burning and overpowering desire to satisfy your sexual lust. Lust is the name of every wrong desire, every inordinate affair is lust. The devil is the manufacturer of lust. And lust destroys the man. It destroys so many good things. Out of 75% of all internet users after 10 o'clock at night. Over 75% of those who use internet after 10 o'clock at night are viewing pornography. That's the truth. It's a research. It's been done. After 10 o'clock, 75% of those who are on the net, they are watching pornography. And there's terrible pornography on the internet. And the largest group on that internet is people within the ages of 13 and 18 watching pornography, including some pastors. Lust is a desire for something contrary to the will of God. And it's an evil desire. A man who cannot handle lust before marriage will not be able to handle it after marriage. You have to handle it now. And lust destroys so many happy relationships. A research conducted recently shows that 1 over 10 of pastors commit adultery. 1 over 10. 10%. They live in sin. What are the symptoms of lost prisoners? From what I've said so far, a lot of people are inside the prison of lust and they need to be delivered. It's a very serious matter indeed. They need to be delivered. What are the symptoms? If that lust is in your life, how do you know? How can you identify that you have the symptoms? And as I'm speaking this morning, I want you to begin to think so that when I say start praying, you know what to pray. My desire is that out of this youth church, we should have prophets. We should have prophetesses. We should have people who will stand and say, thus said the Lord, and the whole country will be shaking. That's the kind of youth church we want. Right. We're not looking for a youth church where everybody becomes a dancing expert. Because you could dance and dance and dance, but when you are not close to heaven, you are a waste to your generation. You're a waste to your generation. The people appreciate more are people who connect God. People who can connect God. That's people they appreciate more. Once you connect God, people will appreciate you more. But if you do not connect heaven, you will even lose the small appreciation that you have. A lot of us have internal power that God has deposited into us. But this thing that I'm talking about today buries it. Buries it. It doesn't allow you to really go far the way you should go. If there is violent body chemistry in your body at the sight of the opposite sex, you are a prisoner of lust. Every time you see a woman, your body will be shaking. Then you are a prisoner of lust. Every time you see a woman, you begin to have erection. Then you are a prisoner of lust. You're already inside the prison. A blind prisoner. And they will do the person like the three blind mice. They'll cut off your tail.
And you'll be running after the farmer's wife instead of running towards the way to heaven. When you are talking to a person, and as you're talking to a person, you are a lady, you're already getting wet. Lust is already inside your body. Your male organ is already rising in the presence of talking to a person. Lust. You're a prisoner of lust. You harbor immoral thoughts that refuse to go away. Your thoughts are so bad, so terrible, you try to throw it away, you can't throw it away, then you are a prisoner of lust. This is a very serious matter. You stay on your bed at night and you begin to have sexual fantasies. You begin to daydream about sex. You are a prisoner of lust. Or you are like that, my friend, that came to Prayer City for deliverance, who will buy bread and begin to sleep with bread. Yes. Once his manhood is strong, he buys bread and begin to dip it inside the bread. Lost. But after some time, he found that the bread was not responding. He went for prostitute. If you are here, you use pillow, teddy bear, as a companion on bed, and you begin to romance the teddy bear and pillow. Prisoner of lust. You are secretly admiring the body contour of an opposite sex, and you are fixing your eyes on men's trousers down below. Prisoner of lust. You have this inward fire that seeks to be satisfied. Inward fire that seeks to be satisfied. And unless you satisfy yourself, it's as if you are crazy. Lust has caged you. You have these x-ray eyes that will imagine the nakedness of a person. Although the person is wearing clothes, but your eyes can imagine the person naked. It's lust. All the constant sexual dreams shows that you are in the prison of lust. All the constant wet dreams. Occasional wet dream is a biological way of relieving yourself. But when it is constant, it is the fact that you are a prisoner of lust. You're watching pornography, whether it is full or partial. Some actually buy pornography and watch it. But some, it's with style. When they see those half-naked women in magazines, they will go to a corner and be watching it. Especially now that there is a lot of breast display. A lot of people go to balloon their breasts, put certain things in the breast, they pump the breast up, and they do surgery to increase the breast size. They do surgery to increase bum now. All is lost. All those dressing in a revealing way. Dress in a revealing way. You know this dress is bad. You're wearing it. It's lost. When you wear a dress and somebody can see your belly button, you are looking for something. It's lost. All the lustful eye contact shows that you have lust in your body. The lustful signals shows that you have lust in your body. Uncontrollable demand for sex, sometimes leading to raping, it shows that it's lust in the body. When your thought is running riot, anytime you see a particular lady or man, it's lust. If you are here, you actually enjoy innocent undressing in your presence by the opposite sex, like your junior sisters, your maid, even your mother. It's lust. You go to spy through keyholes at people who are having sex. It's lust. Reading all those sexual and romantic books shows that there's something you want to feed inside your body. Masturbation, which is the same thing as having sex with yourself, is lust. And a lot of people are in this cage. I'm here this morning to help those who need help, to caution those who are careless, and to advise those who the enemy is already deceiving. Any pastor that is telling you that with lust in your heart you can make heaven is giving you a fraudulent dream.
Any pastor that is saying with lust in your heart, you'll be a powerful man or woman, is a lie. They're just trying to deceive you. But there's a way out of all this. How do you get out of the prison of lust? Number one, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. That's the first thing. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. Two, you need to love God above all things. Love God above all things. I'm telling you the way out now before we start praying. Three, you need to destroy all doors of lust in your life. You need to destroy all doors of lust in your life. You destroy all the doors of lust in your life. I was invited by one elder in one church many years ago to come and talk to her daughter who just got pregnant, and she didn't know who the pregnancy belonged to. Baba followed her to the first house. The man said, "Excuse me, Daddy, I don't want to insult you, but I'm not the only one." The father turned to her and said, "Ah, you see, not the only one." He said, "Daddy, there are four of them. I don't know which one." The man was so angry, just went and said, "Well, go and look for whoever got you pregnant." So I got there. I said, "Ah." I now asked, I said, "Roselyn, why are you sleeping around?" Said, "Somebody in our school told me that during sex, you feel high. You feel high. So I tried the first person. I didn't feel high." I said, "Maybe that person didn't understand what to do." "I tried the second person. I didn't feel high." "So did you now feel high before you got pregnant now?" "Said no." Lost. It's a destroyer, complete destroyer. One day, this woman came to me crying. She was going to work. I'm telling you a true life story. DJ does not tell, I think, just ordinary stories. She was on her way to work. Something said, "Madam, go back home. Go back home. Go back home." So she went back home. As she entered into the living room, something said, "Go to the bedroom." She went to the bedroom. What did she see? She saw her husband sleeping with her daughter. Sleeping with his own daughter, 18 years old. And they saw the woman coming into the room. They didn't stop. They continued. When they finished, they now came down and said, Why are you crying here?" "So is this a voice? I've been doing it for a long time. So what's the problem?" And they wonder that if she told anybody, they would kill her. Her own daughter. That's where lust can push you. And I was invited the daughter to come. I invited the girl to come. She came. "Said, you are sleeping with your father." "Ah." "Said, sir, we do respect. I've tried all those my boyfriends. They don't have experience." "They don't have experience. So, but that is very good." Lost. Lost. And you must have read many years ago the case of that houseboy that they were leaving a baby with, a baby girl with. And they didn't know that he was busy sleeping with this baby girl. Not through the vagina, through the anus. By the time they just found that the girl was stooling and stooling and stooling, and by the time they were looking, they found that the anus, the elastic in the anus had worn out. So her anus could not hold feces again. The man had used his penis to weaken the elastic in the anus. So, number three thing to do, you must destroy all the dust of lust in your life. One, surrender your life to Jesus. Two, love God above all things. Three, destroy all the dust of lust in your life. Whether the door is spiritual or physical, destroy that door. Destroy all the lustful literature
destroy everything that that former boyfriend gave to you, which may be remind you of the bridge you are supposed to have burnt. Destroy everything. If not, it will destroy you. 4. Regularly remind yourself that lust is a sin. Remind yourself regularly. This thing is a sin. Once you keep reminding yourself like that, you won't fall into the trap. 4. 5. That's right. Proceed on deliverance as quickly as possible if you find your lust uncontrollable. Proceed on deliverance as quickly as possible if you find yourself having uncontrollable lust. 6. Stay busy. Be busy for the Lord. Be active. Be doing something. Don't just come to a church like that and just walk away. You're not doing anything. You're not in this team. You're not in that team. You don't sing in the choir. You don't usher. You don't pray. You just share the grace. You carry your Bible and you go. No, stay busy. Be doing something for God. And while you are doing that, be careful of the possibility of falling. Anybody can fall. Whether you're a pastor or not, does not matter. Anybody can fall. If you are having a boat ride from the back of this campus to Lagos, you are inside that boat that they paddle, the normal local boat. You can't stand inside that boat and begin to toss coin up and down as if you want to play football. You have to be very careful inside that boat. So stay busy and stay careful. And know there is a possibility of falling. A bishop visited me, was it 7 years ago? A bishop. The bishop was 68 years old. And the bishop said, Dr. Olukoya, how are you? I have been wishing to meet you for a long time. I have a problem. I said, Daddy, what is the problem? He said, my wife is a witch. I said, Bishop, your wife is a witch? He said, yes. Why do you say your wife is a witch? He said, one day I was romancing my secretary in the office. 68-year-old man. And my wife walked in and saw us. And the wife said, I decree in the name of Jesus that beginning from today, you become impotent. I said, yes. I said, do you know, sir? And right from that day, that woman decreed it. Impotence are certain. So, she must be a witch. And I said, what do you want me to do now? Say, I hear that you have powerful prayers here that can deal with witches. I said, Bishop, I said, look at me very well. You're a foolish man. You're a foolish man. Your wife is not a witch. She has just used our authority to prevent you from destroying yourself. So you are an old man of 68. You should be preaching to people like us, not to do what you are doing. You are coming and asking for prayer points so that you can commit iniquity. Say, we don't have such prayer points here. He now left my office. He said, yes. Say, they said so. They said that you are a radical person. They said so. And he walked away. Doesn't matter. Doesn't bother me. 7. Spend as little time as possible in the presence of any opposite sex that is attracting you so that you don't fall if it's not your wife. Kill all stray thoughts. All those thoughts that is flying about. Kill it. Don't allow it to kill you. Kill all stray thoughts. Now, fill your mind with God's thoughts. According to Philippians 4:8. Fill your mind with God's thoughts. According to what is written in Philippians 4:8. Fill your heart with God's thoughts. Philippians 4 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Fill your mind with God's thoughts. 10.
Realize that God has provided a way for you to escape from every temptation.
God has provided a way for you to escape from every temptation. And that way is flee. That four-letter word, F-L-E-E. Flee.
Some other sins, the Bible says resist. This one, it didn't say resist. It said run, run, flee. Don't even try to resist. Just run. Just flee.
11. Do not put yourself in situation where you know temptation will be great. Don't put yourself in a situation where you know temptation will be great. What are you doing alone in a room with a man who is not your husband? You caused it. You put yourself in that situation.
12. Never plan sin. Never make it easy to fall.
Don't plan sin. Don't make it easy to fall. Don't let your enemies rejoice over you.
Never plan sin. Don't plan to sin. Don't make it easy to fall.
13. Do not be overconfident. Say, nothing can happen to me. I trust myself. It's a lie.
Paul said, we have no confidence in the flesh.
We have no confidence in the flesh.
Fourteen. Scan the people around you spiritually.
Scan the people around you spiritually.
So if someone is enhancing lust in your life, you should pray and avoid that person.
Scan the people around you spiritually. If the person is enhancing lust, just avoid the person.
How many things have I told you now?
15 now. Know and avoid danger zones.
There's some danger zones you shouldn't go to because you'll get into trouble.
Number 16 now. Get married if you're of age and you are being tempted.
If you're of age, you're being tempted, go and get married.
Then lastly, watch and pray.
Watch and pray. Don't say, I'm a pastor, can't happen to me, blah, blah, blah. You have to watch, you have to pray.
A pastor was fighting his wife. The fight became serious. Then I invited the mother-in-law to come and settle the quarrel. The mother-in-law began to try to settle the quarrel from around 8 p.m. at night. And eventually, they settled the quarrel around 12 midnight. Pastor went to sleep. His wife went to sleep. Mother-in-law, that is the mother of the wife, went to sleep. Around 2 a.m., the wife woke up to go to the toilet to ease herself. What did she see? She saw Pastor sleeping with her own mother. That was the end of that marriage. When I saw the pastor, I said, Pastor, you are sleeping with your mother-in-law. How can you do a thing like that? You know, the first thing the man would say to me, I almost collapsed. I said, Gio, you need to see that mama. She's very beautiful.
The Bible says, watch and do what? And pray. It's the watch that comes first before you begin to pray.
Right now, beloved, as I'm talking to you here, standing as somebody who's interested in solution evangelism, deliverance, and problem dissolving, I have 3 cases in my hand. You see, when I see these cases, I cry. I have 3 cases in my hand that I'm praying that God, in His mercy, should help me to resolve. One sick came, was it on Wednesday? This boy is a university boy. he slept with their house help. He did not know that the house help had a fiancé in the village who had put a local juju on the house girl, which they call in our local language magu, on that girl. He didn't know. So he went into this girl and his problem started. When they brought him, it was like jellyfish. Somebody who knew me from Abuja asked them to come here. They've tried all kinds of things. The first native doctor they took him to said the fellow who did the magu is stronger than him. So that there is nothing he can do. Before you run yourself into a mess, that if you are not already in a mess now, you need to be careful. Rise up on your feet, beloved. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. But you see, if you are here this morning, you are not born again. You have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus. We have very limited time. We have limited time to pray and to do what we need to do. So if you are here, say, Pastor, I know where my problems are coming from. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Don't wait for anybody to prompt you. Just run quickly to the altar here and be before me here so that you can surrender your life to Jesus. Just find a way very quickly. Leave that seat. Just run very quickly to the altar here. You want to surrender your life to Jesus today. You have seen now that the enemy has messed you up and you want to be free. Just run quickly. Leave that seat. Run quickly to me at the altar here. Jesus is waiting for you here. You cannot continue like this. Cannot continue that. Just run very quickly to the altar here. From wherever you are.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. Oh,
Jesus is still waiting for you here. Don't stay in that place if you are supposed to be out here. This may be the only opportunity you have. Frontier, I congratulate you. You've taken the most important decision in life. Just close your eyes. Say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. As from today, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for your children here. Lord, I pray that you continue to uphold them by your power. This decision they've taken today, let it be permanent in their lives. The Lord will write your name in the book of life. And it will make you a champion every day of your life. It is well with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Those of you at the front, open your eyes, look at me. You've taken the most important decision in life, and I congratulate you. But please do me a favor.
Immediately we close now. Don't run home. Just come to the front here. We want to pray more with you. Take your data from you so that we can be praying for you by name. And the Lord will continue to help you. You may go back to your seat now, but immediately we close. Just find a way here very quickly. God bless you as you do so. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you as you do so. God bless you as you do so. Thank you, Jesus. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. The prayers of this morning is prayer for those who love themselves, who love their destiny. It's prayer for those who are sincere in their hearts. If you are here this morning to masquerade, then the prayers will not be able to help you. But if in your heart you know something is wrong, you need solution. You need deliverance. You need to be set free. Then this place is for you. This time is for you. As we pray this first prayer for those who do not want to deceive themselves, if you discover that your sexual drive is driving you crazy, and you cannot, it seems as if you cannot, once the process starts, you cannot control yourself, please don't hesitate. Just run quickly to my altar here and be on your knees. And you want deliverance quick. You know that this is a destroyer, and it will probably destroy you later. Just find your way very quickly to this altar. Be on your knees. To controlling your sexual desire is a difficult matter for you. Just run quickly to this altar. Be on your knees. Everybody will pray this prayer. Everybody will shout this prayer loud and clear. It is dangerous to keep quiet. It is dangerous to even allow somebody's voice to overshadow your voice. A lot of useful people have been destroyed. A lot of Samson have had wicked barbers barbing their head. And already, they're in trouble now. And the Lord wants to save you. That's why you are here. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. Every internal chain.
Every internal chain.
Your voice is not loud enough. Your voice is still not loud enough. Your voice is still not loud. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pata satala kayaba. Something must happen in your life here today. We are not here to negotiate. We are here for serious business. Just break, 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 break. Masetakaya boshende rabokonta. Borika sapola katanda raba. Aha, 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 aha. Enough is enough. You must be set free. You must be set free. 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 Masakato lakaya boshenteraba. Aha! 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 The serpent of sexual destruction. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. In Jesus' name we pray. Let there be silence now. That's right. Yes. That's right. That's right. There are 20 brothers here. Also 20 sisters. Right now, where you are standing, an arrow of darkness was fired into your reproductive organ because of this lust. But right there where you are, the power of God is going to fall upon you, no matter where you are, whether you are at the front or you are standing, because it is time for those arrows of darkness that have been troubling your life for years to now be removed. You slept with the wrong person already, and he has transferred material into your body. Those materials need to begin to go out now. 20 sisters. 20 brothers,
Bakapota li karibo senda. Ribo pia lika.
Dana kantaya bosha. That's number one.
That's number two. That's number three. That's number four.
Yes, enough is enough. You just must be released from this bondage that the enemy has been using to set you. But
that's number five. That's number six. That's number seven. That's number eight.
Aha.
Number nine. Number ten.
Yes, that's the fire of God. It's going from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet.
That's number 11. Number 12.
Number 13. The serpent that has been introduced into your body. I command that serpent to begin to go. Go, 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 go,
go.
In the name of Jesus. That's number 14.
Number 15. 16, 17.
Today is a day of deliverance.
18, 19. Number 20.
Aha. Aha.
Everybody will shout this again loud and clear. Powers of hellfire. Assigned to destroy my destiny. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Oh, yes. In Jesus' name we pray.
Those of you at the altar, just point your right hand at me here. Father, let your anointing for mighty breakthrough, mighty deliverance, fall upon your children here in the name of Jesus.
This hand that you stretch towards this altar, let it become the hand of breakthrough, the hand of healing, the hands of deliverance, the hands of power. In the name of Jesus.
Just lay that hand on your belly button area and keep it there for now. Just keep it there. Keep it there. Aha. And as you keep it there, every spirit that has entered into you to cause you harm or to destroy your spiritual life, they are going out. Because the fire of God is coming upon you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, lay your hands upon these, your children here. And this destructive habit you have been experiencing, beginning from today, you shall see them no more. The power of the Holy Spirit shall overshadow your life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You may go back to your seat now. The hand of God has touched you for a massive breakthrough here today. As you pray this next prayer, if you are in this gathering and you have always sex in the dream, sex in the dream, sex in the dream, and it's becoming very embarrassing to you, find a way to this altar too and be on your knees, because that is likely to cause trouble for you later. Just find a way to the altar and be on your knees here. Everybody will shout this again loud and clear. Make sure that nobody's voice overshadows your voice. Say, I fire back! Every arrow of demotion. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray that one. Fire back! at the hour of demotion. Aha, 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 aha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, with a voice louder than anyone here, this is a key prayer in the program of today. The Bible says, someone is coming after me, the lashes of whose shoes I'm unfit to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When there's a stubborn situation, fire is the answer. You will now shout this loud and clear. Holy Ghost fire! Incubate my life! In the name of Jesus!